Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
Yes, it is, and we have a lot to get to. We are going to do Dear Grace in this segment, which I know is a fan favorite, but before we even go to that, I do think, Jared, I would be remiss, mostly for you, because I know that you'll want me to play this at some point today. I know that Jared would never say this, but having Bill Gates on the sound cuts and not playing it is going to pain you a little bit. It's going to hurt your heart. And I don't want to do that. So let's break this down for people. For people who don't pay attention to Bill Gates, which I would think is a lot of people, Bill Gates and his wife are getting divorced. And there's a few theories floating as to why, but he did have a friendship with Jeffrey Epstein. And strangely enough, he was on PBS and a reporter there, Judy Woodruff, actually asked him about this friendship. And I want to listen to his answer and then maybe Jared can give us a little insight into what he thinks about this. This is Bill Gates.
You had a number of meetings with Jeffrey Epstein, who, when you met him 10 years ago, he was convicted of soliciting prostitution from minors. What did you know about him when you were meeting with him, as you've said yourself, in the hopes of raising money?
I had dinners with him. I regret doing that. He had relationships with people he said, would give to global health, which is a interest I have. Not nearly enough philanthropy goes in that direction. Those meetings were a mistake. They didn't result in what he purported, and I cut them off. That goes back a long time ago now. So there's nothing new on that.
Interesting. And I think it's the second cut that's really getting people talking, because she pressed him on it. And I don't know what's happening at PBS. I don't know. Judy Woodruff, you might be on the chopping block, because Bill Gates is a beautiful person. I mean, he is wealthy. He's liberal. He gives to charity. He wants people to eat fake meat. He produces fake meat. He checks all the boxes. And she had the audacity to have a follow-up. She was already on shaky ground, even bringing up Epstein, and then she had a follow-up.
Yeah, and he actually funds PBS NewsHour, where this occurred.
Whoa! All right, someone has to talk to Judy Woodruff, because she is a bold woman. My major kudos to her. I can't believe that she didn't get her feed cut mid-interview for asking these. Let's play cut 9.
It was reported that you continue to meet with him over several years, and that, in other words, a number of meetings. What did you do when you found out about his background?
Well, I've said I regretted having those dinners, and there's nothing, absolutely nothing new on that.
Is there a lesson for you, for anyone else looking at this?
Well, he's dead. So, in general, you always have to be careful. I'm very proud of what we've done in philanthropy, very proud of the work of the foundation.
Well, he's dead. I think there's a lesson to be learned about Bill Gates, which is he likes to hang around with people like Jeffrey Epstein.
Yeah. What about all those trips to the apartment, apparently, that Melinda mentioned?
Can we give Judy Woodruff the profiles and courage? That is...
Seriously.
That's some real journalism-ing right there. And before we dive into Dear Grace, I do want to give you guys an update here because this is a huge story. Shooting down Israel's Iron Drone dome. This is from the Wall Street Journal. The Democratic Party still likes to say it supports Israel. If you follow, this is me now, not the Wall Street Journal, but if you follow the Democratic Party as it is right now, talking about AOC, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, you know full well that they do not support Israel. They're very open about it. It's not like something that you have to read between the lines. They are very...
We need to stop and look at the fact that our own country is enabling it with billions of dollars every year being issued to Israel, even though they are promoting racism and dehumanization.
Yeah, they couldn't make it any clearer, you know. This isn't something that they're trying to hide. But on Tuesday, House Democrats stripped from their government funding bill the $1 billion earmarked for Israel's Iron Dome missile defense system. Facing a revolt from progressive lawmakers and with limited time to avert a government shutdown, Speaker Pelosi buckled, which she always does with that wing. Remember back in the day she told, I think it was Leslie Stahl, she said, "That's like five people." Well, those five people have managed to really do a number on Nancy Pelosi.
What's that about?
Democrats say the funding will be included in a defense bill later this year, and the moderates among them may fight it for another day. But why has the party been made to retreat? Iron Dome has enjoyed strong bipartisan support. It is a defensive system that shoots down in midair rockets fired by Hamas and other Iran-backed terrorist groups in the Gaza Strip. I'm going to skip down here to the end because this is the important part. Democratic opposition to Iron Dome certainly isn't motivated by fiscal responsibility. I mean, $1 billion to Democrats is like a drop in the bucket. What is Bernie Sanders asking for right now? He said that $3.5 trillion is like the bottom of what they want.
They need $6 trillion, according to the burner.
Yeah, so $1 billion is... chump change, okay?
Blah, 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 blah.
The progressives who put up a fight over the $1 billion are demanding the expenditure of trillions on the welfare state. Funding Iron Dome would now would also fulfill Biden's promise to replenish Israel's interceptors after the war with Hamas. The funding was shot down because a growing number of Democrats oppose anything that would help Israel, even if it promotes peace. Supporters of Israel should take note. If Iron Dome can lose Democratic Party support, then there is nothing pro-Israel that won't be in jeopardy in Congress. I think people should have taken note of that a long time ago, but if this is what it's going to take to wake some people up to just how anti-Israel these Democrats are, then good. Welcome to 2021. All right, now it's time for a little bit of Dear Grace.
Ladies and gentlemen, the story you are about to hear is true. Only the names have been changed to protect the innocent.
This is, the Listen Lady.
Yeah, well, listen, lady. I got so many problems, I don't even know where to begin here.
All right, so this is how this works. I read off advice, questions, inquiries, and Jared and I do our best to answer them for you. Sometimes we give good advice. Sometimes people say our advice stinks, but we try every single time. And so I'm going to start today, and we can both give our 2 cents. And if anyone else wants to weigh in, feel free. No one ever shies away from texting us and telling us we're wrong. So you can always text 63566, start the text with the word curly. All right, Dear Grace, my boyfriend has a work wife. All right, I should explain that to people. People have this asinine thing where someone they work with, who they're close with, they call them their work husband or their work wife. I hate that expression. I should start right there. I hate that expression. I think it's dumb. And I already am not on the side of your boyfriend with this. But let's continue. My boyfriend texts his work wife all the time. They send memes, inside jokes, and even voice memos. I don't want to say anything because we've only been dating for 6 months. But how do I make it clear that this bugs me without seeming clingy or insane? Whew. This is a tough one because 6 months is not a long time. And if he's been friends with this girl for a lot longer than he's been dating you, you don't want to come in too hot. I'm going to be petty here. I'm going to be petty. I'm going to say you have to get a work husband. That's the only, what else can I, what else at that point can you do? You got to fight fire with fire. Do you agree?
I don't know if I'd go fire with fire. Honestly, I would say just point blank, listen, I am not comfortable with the level of intimacy you have with this coworker. So we need to figure this out or I'm out.
Yeah, that's the mature, that, you know what, Jared wins this round. That's the mature advice. Don't do what I said. Obviously, I'm immature.
No, absolutely. But if you don't want to do that, you could also, you know, create a burner account on Facebook and just kind of stalk her. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We all got burner accounts, right?
Dear Grace, I work at a company that has no work-life balance. If you don't stay a few hours after checkout time, you're considered a slacker. I've been here for 1 year and it's ruined my social life and my mental health. What do I do? By the way, the job is in marketing, so a lot of times they have us stay late and work on projects together. The incentive is always something like pizza for the office. I don't even like the place they order the pizza from. Oof. Okay. Because the job market is what it is right now, I would say find another job. Yeah. There's so many opportunities out there. And if a place isn't valuing your time or, you know, you said it's affecting your mental health, get out of there.
Yeah, this is something I impart to a lot of people. And again, I want to go back to when I was a boss, but I was a boss for a while. And this is why I impart to people.
This is like your Amtrak story.
Yes. They'd be like, hey, Jared, baby.
Jared, baby.
I got a problem. What I would say is there is no great reward at the end of life for suffering and martyring yourself.
Don't be a martyr. Yes. Oh my gosh. There's nothing worse.
And not in the bad way of like, oh, my day is so terrible. I couldn't get the right. Like, I mean, really, like just working yourself like crazy, driving yourself into the ground. There's no great reward at the end of life for that.
And that's not a personality trait. Like you should have other things going on, not just I do everything in this office. Nobody cares. You know what it is like? It's like that video of the woman says she's going on a lunch break and the guy says, I don't even take a lunch break. And she says, you know, this company wouldn't care if you dropped dead at your desk right now. So I'm going to take 15 minutes outside. That is the truth. At the end of the day, I hate to use that expression. It always comes up during Dear Grace. But at the end of the day, a job is a job. You know, you have to have a little bit of balance. All right. Here's the last one. Dear Grace, my girlfriend and I have totally different taste in movies and anything entertainment. I like things like Game of Thrones, sci-fi, Star Trek. She likes rom-coms and reality television. She gets mad at me that I don't want to watch her choices in TV and that I don't pay attention. What should I do? All right. This is where you just have to compromise. And I'm gonna give an example here. Will loves the Bruins. It's insane how much he loves the Bruins. He doesn't even enjoy watching them. It's like a stress watch. He watches them and it's very nerve-wracking to see him watching them. But I know that's something he likes. And trust me, the Bruins are on a lot. You don't even realize how much hockey's on until you have to watch it. But I sit there as he stress watches the Bruins and I go on my phone and I scroll through Twitter and Instagram. And so it's not like I'm sitting there invested in this game, but I'm there, you know, as a silent support system, because that's his interest. When I want to watch my reality shows, he hates that stuff. But that's how it works. You got to do it.
Yeah, you got to melt a little. You got to compromise and you got to put in the time to show that your friendship or your relationship is worth it.
And also, second thing is definitely have two TVs. Have a TV in the bedroom, because on the nights where neither of you want to compromise, you just want to go to your own TV. There's nothing wrong with that. All right, the Tour of Italy wine dinners are back this fall at Aviva Trattoria. Join Chef Anthony DePalma, the Aviva Culinary Team, and Martignetti Wines for a four-course wine dinner featuring food and wines from various regions of Italy. I had such a wonderful time at the wine dinner in Malden with my sister back in July. We were posting photos. They had a pig roast. The wine was delicious. They had a guitar player. It's a really festive, fun experience, and you cannot beat this price point. The price point is just insane. So definitely check this out. We had antipasta from the Emilia-Romagna region and tiramisu. Everything was amazing. But a list of all of the Aviva events are on their homepage at avivatrattoria.com. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Again, that's avivatrattoria.com to check out all their events. We will be right back with more. This is the Grace Curley Show.
You can call her late for dinner. Just don't call her Gracie. It's the Grace Curley Show. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Does everyone remember Katie Hill? Former Congresswoman Katie Hill? She was embroiled in quite a scandal. Howie often talks about this because it involved a thruple, but Howie likes to call it a thruple. And she was part of the thruple. And, you know, it was so cliche almost, like the political scandal of all of it, that I kind of forget it. It just all blends together. But needless to say, she's not someone who should be chastising anyone or throwing stones. She has quite an interesting past as far as politics go. But so The Hill ran a story. Katie Hill launches effort to protect Democratic majority in House. And Harmeet K. Dillon responded back and said, "Does anyone know where she is launching this effort from? I've been trying to serve her with judgment creditor examination papers for weeks. She sued. She lost. This isn't a game." And so I was looking into this, and there's a lot of people now who are wondering, hashtag, where's Katie Hill? Former thruple politician Katie Hill, this is according to the New York Post, has been ordered to pay $220,000 in attorney's fees after losing her lawsuit against media outlets that printed her naked photos. The one-time Democratic rising star had accused the outlets of posting revenge porn by using the graphic leaked photos that played a part in her resignation. But the legal bid was thrown out in March on First Amendment grounds, with Los Angeles Superior Court Judge Orzoka arguing that the publication was in the public interest as it reflected Hill's character and qualifications for office. Hill has already been ordered to pay about $84,000 to attorneys of Jennifer Van Laar, managing editor of Red State, and about $30,000 to those representing radio producer Joseph Messina. On Wednesday, the judge also ordered her to pay $105,000 to the parent company of the UK tabloid, the Daily Mail. So in other words, she got mad that these places printed her photos. She tried to claim revenge porn. The judge shot it down. So she had to pay the legal fees, and she didn't. But she still, this is the hubris of all of these Democrats. She still has the audacity to go out there and say, I'm launching an effort to protect Democratic majority in the House, because that's what these Democrats need right now. They're barely hanging on. The red wave, it's a coming. Joe Biden's approval rating is in the toilet. You know, everything they get pulled on, people are not happy with the Democrats and how they're running this country. But I think that the way this can be saved is from thruple member Katie Hill.
And what is this campaign that she's launching involve? Was it just, I declare that I am going to save us?
I declare bankruptcy! No, I don't know. I don't know what she plans on doing. Right? She's launching an effort, Jared. What more do you need to know?
That's a fair point. I keep asking for content and context from the Democrats. My bad.
She's launching an effort to protect Democratic majority in the House. And I'm sure they're very grateful for that. Unfortunately, through launching this effort, she has shown that she's still out there, and now her creditors want their money. Oh, you hate to see it, don't you? It's always the good guys. Why do bad things happen to good people? Today's poll question is brought to you by Fairway Financial. You may have just received a special email from me on a great offer from Fairway Financial. To learn more, go to fairwayfinancial.net. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Will Biden hold a makeup press conference by Halloween?
No, 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 no. You have a better chance of seeing a ghost than that happening.
15% of the audience feels yes, he will, while 85% say no.
Yes, that 15%, they're dreamers, man. That's like Peter Alexander voting in our poll over and over again.
They're launching a campaign.
They're launching a campaign to get Biden to have a press conference. When we get back, remember that video that celebrities made at the beginning of this pandemic where they sang into their iPhones and cured COVID? Well, they're back at it again. This is the Imagine iPhone video sequel. And I don't know how we can stop these celebrities. They're unstoppable and insufferable. We'll be right back. It's Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try.
No hell below
us. Above us only sky.
Imagine all the people
living for today.
You gotta stop. You gotta
stop anytime. It goes on for another 2 minutes.
Now, I saw somebody commented underneath this video because I was looking for the original today. One of the top rated YouTube comments was like, the amount of doors you could unlock with all the different keys that this song is being sung in. I mean, there was no, that was a low point for me during the pandemic.
They're clearly actors and not musical theater actors, shall we say.
But I thought we were turning the corner on this pandemic. Turns out we weren't even like a month in when they sent that out.
Does Charlie Baker know about all that singing? That might have been the problem.
Oh, yeah, because at that point in the pandemic, droplets. Singing was not enemy number one. But then it did become, you know what, Jared, the singing really became a problem around like Christmas, around caroling time, around Thanksgiving, when people were getting together. But when the celebrities, of course, when the celebrities were singing, they have antibodies and, you know, their droplets are made of pure liquid gold. Unlike our disgusting droplets. So they were singing, and I really thought to myself, all right, this pandemic is going to be solved by the brain trust in Hollywood. I mean, they've got it down pat. Well, fast forward almost 2 years, and they've come up with a new idea. Anne Hathaway, Sierra, and more stars signed an open letter to end COVID-19 pandemic. Don't laugh.
I'm sorry. I never thought of writing a strongly worded letter to COVID.
Hey,
I would have done 18 months ago.
If you can write a sternly worded press statement to the Taliban and fix all of the problems in the Middle East, why can't you write a letter to COVID-19?
Dear COVID, come on, man.
Come on, man.
The letter was published Tuesday and coincides with the United Nations General Assembly and the Global COVID-19 Summit, hosted by President Biden. The memo asks leaders to provide vaccines for 70% of the world's population by 2022. It also requests resources for countries with lower capital, more support for healthcare workers, as well as a vested interest in public education. The letter says none of us are safe until all of us are safe. But they're safe because they went to all these award shows. Some of these people that are on this list, they were at the Emmys. They had no masks on. They were safe then. You know, it's so nice of them, though, because they're worried about the peasants. They're worried about people like me who have to put on a mask when, you know, because we keep talking about how they don't have to wear masks and the rest of the staff does. You know, the hairstylist, the makeup artist, the people on the red carpet, they all have to wear masks. But we never thought to ourselves, maybe they don't feel good about that, you know? Maybe that bothers them too. So now they're going to do something about it. And when in doubt, send a letter out. That's what I always say. That's what I always say. And I feel hopeful for the first time in a long time. Eva Longoria, Anne Hathaway, what more can you ask for? We're going to come out of this stronger, guys. I have a feeling now that they've gotten involved, This is the sequel to The Imagine. I would like to make a request. I think sending the open letter is the best way to go about this because it doesn't involve recording voices or singing or anything like that. Let's stick to the written word. Let's keep the tunes out of it, especially John Lennon. We don't need any more of that. That's cruel and unusual. That song is pretty terrible to begin with. Do you know, actually, when he came out with that song, Elton John, I think it was, wrote a parody song and sent it to him, making fun of John Lennon because he had so many like pairs of shoes and sunglasses and coats and, you know, stuff, plenty of material. And the whole song is about like, imagine if none of us had material things.
Yeah, it's like the memes you see of the kids at Starbucks fighting capitalism one latte and Apple Watch at a time.
Exactly. No, that's exactly what this is like. I mean, these people are so out of touch, but hey, at least they're sending the letter. We wait with bated breath to see the results of this open letter.
And Grace, I hate to interrupt, but we have a breaking news update. We talked about in the first hour the Boris Johnson shoe girls incident. Well, Jen Psaki was asked about that.
Oh, wow. Did they let her answer or did they shoo everyone out of the room?
She actually answered, and well, it's true Biden administration fashion.
What transpired in the Oval Office yesterday when we were all in there trying to hear from the President and the Prime Minister.
Which aspect?
Well, the British Prime Minister in the American Oval Office called out British reporters, and then when American reporters tried to call in the American President, we were escorted out, let's put it that way.
Well, I think in that circumstance, and I think our relationship with the United Kingdom and with Prime Minister Johnson is so strong and abiding, we will be able to move forward beyond this. But he called on individuals from his press corps without alerting us to that intention in advance.
Oh, he did not have our permission. He did not follow our instructions.
And she's confident they'll be able to move on from this. Move on, like the guy did something wrong.
You know, we weren't able to come up with note cards for Joe to look at during the question and answer portion, so we were very upset by that. I hope Boris Johnson offers Jen Psaki an apology for his behavior. What kind of monster takes questions from the press pool? What kind of villain has taken over? We need an apology. We need a open
letter. So you know
letter.
What the hell's going on here?
We need an apology written out and signed by not just Boris Johnson, but by Ciara and Anne Hathaway as well.
Any other British celebrities we can't think of right now.
Yeah, who's a British celebrity? Hugh Grant. I want Hugh Grant to sign that letter. And maybe we'll think about forgiving Boris.
No less than 2.5 Spice Girls.
By the way, Australian state announces, did you hear about this? This is pretty interesting. The Australian state announces friends bubble, allowing those under 18 to gather with two other friends in person. And people say that it's crazy there. Sounds crazy fun to me.
that before or after they get shot while running away? Did you see that video?
There's so many crazy videos coming out of Australia that it doesn't even, you kind of become numb to them.
Yeah, that's a slippery slope, people. That's the plan everywhere. Pay attention.
In the latest pandemic set of regulations to come from the Australia state of New South Wales, those 18 and under will now be able to gather with a small group of friends in person. Taking effect at noon on September 21st, the government announced that children and teenagers aged 18 and younger will be able to create a friends bubble to allow home visits, provided the adults in their homes are fully vaccinated. Under the new rules, those in that age range who live in stay-at-home areas and areas of concern across New South Wales will be able to create a bubble of three friends to visit each other's homes. In order for a bubble to be created, the following conditions are outlined by the New South Wales government. Each child is allowed to have two designated friends, and these two friends must always stay the same. Everyone over 18 within these households must be fully vaccinated. All friends must reside within 5 kilometers of each other or within same local government area. If the child is being dropped off by a parent or caregiver, that person dropping them off must not stay to interact with other parents or caregivers.
There's okay. not one word of that that was not horribly dystopian.
Yeah, it's very dystopian.
Every noun and verb in that sentence was appalling.
But let's look at the bright side. When I first read this, I thought it was going to involve a physical bubble. And it does not appear, based off what I'm reading, that anyone has to enter a physical bubble.
Oh, it'd be a kangaroo pouch in Australia.
Yes. So this is good news. This is progress. I mean, the thing I think of, and maybe I'm alone in this, but when you're in middle school and in high school, and I've talked about this before in Dear Grace, but for certain kids, it's already kind of hard to make friends. And here's an example. You know when you're in school and they say, all right, everyone has to pick a partner? That, for certain kids, is those words are dreadful because you're like, oh, no one's going to pick me. No one's going to want to be my partner for this. Or those girls are going to partner up. Those boys are going to partner up. I'm going to be the one who has to partner up with a teacher, the teacher's aide, or whatever it is. But now you're taking that and you expect these kids to call some. I'm just picturing myself here as a middle schooler trying to make friends. And we get out for the holiday break and I call somebody up who I'm barely on the cusp of being friends with. And I say, do you want to be my designated friend? And them just being like, can I think about it? Can I have 30 minutes to think about this and check out if I have any better options? I'm just being realist here. It's so uncomfortable. I used to cringe asking people if they wanted to go to the mall with me and walk around for an hour, let alone be my designated friend.
And, you know, the nice thing is we've noticed that, you know, tween and teenage girls, there's no drama there. So they all get along all the time. So there's no way there could be a problem.
What about
with
like
these
the
friends?
What about the fourth friend in the group? You know what I mean? You have a group of, let's say, four kids and everyone gets two designated friends. So there's one outcast.
It's like a really cool bike. You know, one couple gets them Monday and Tuesday and then somebody gets them Wednesday, Thursday, and they share on Sundays.
Yeah, if you're the fourth friend, you're out of luck. And then what about kids who can't convince anyone to be their designated friends? So they're stuck with, like, their aunt and uncle coming over on Saturdays. I'm just being honest here. I'm thinking about this from all angles. It reminds,
Captain would say, crikey.
It reminds me of when you're younger and someone's having a party and they say, sorry, we invite you, but there's not enough seats in my mom's car. That's what this takes me back to. I'm not speaking from personal experience, but when people say things like that, I would love to have you over my house, but we didn't buy enough food. You know, my mom said I can only have 10 friends. You'd be the 11th. So you need to stay home. It's just, they're making it so difficult for kids. And Carol Markowitz says this all the time, but we're all a bunch of adults who talk about, you know, how hard it is, how hard life is. Like, all these adults do online is complain and whine and talk about how miserable everything is. And yet, for some reason, we think these kids are going to be unaffected. Like, they're so resilient. They'll be okay with, you know, living in all these bubbles. It just doesn't make any sense. 844-500-4242. We will be back with Howard Lawrence Carr. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show.
Was I wearing a tiara when I came in here? Because if you happen upon it, will you have Lady Pennyface retrieve it and send it post-hence?
She's the epitome of class, style, and sophistication. She's Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. I am joined now by Howard Lawrence Carr, and I'm glad he's here because there's a story that I wasn't able to get to today. But Howie, there's a lot of airport disasters in Joe Biden's presidency. First, we had the Bagram Airport where people were flying off the airplanes. And now we have a tense situation in Haiti that occurred yesterday when many deported Haitian migrants expressed anger and some even tried unsuccessfully to get back on a plane returning to the U.S.
Wait, it gets worse, Grace. Didn't you see the latest story? They were biting the agents. Can we have the bite sound
effect,
please? And
throwing rocks and shoes.
These are just the kind of people that are going to, you know, go to work as nuclear physicists in America when they get here, aren't they? I mean, they, you know, it's a great celebration of diversity to bring in more Haitians into the country.
Well, I don't really have a problem with bringing people in, but you have to do it legally. That's the issue here. You have to vet people. I'm sure there's a lot of people who should be here.
To make sure that they don't go on welfare like they used to do. That I think that law is still on the books. I don't think they ever repeal that law. You have to have a sponsor, and the sponsor says if you become a deadbeat like 99% of them do, they have to pick up the tab for them, not you and me.
All right, now,
out of the goodness of our hearts, because I don't have too much goodness in my heart left. I'm tapped out.
Now, Howie, I do have to ask you, do you think, on a separate note here, that the UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson, will he offer an apology to Jen Psaki and the instructors of the Biden White House?
I heard that.
For being so disrespectful and taking questions
from the press. He didn't clear
that.
He didn't clear that with Colonel Klebb.
He didn't ask for permission. They didn't even give him a list of people like they do for Joe. He just went off the cuff.
What the hell was it with the masks, too? I mean, they had everything but the windshield from the Jeep Cherokee on their faces. You could barely understand them to begin with. And then they start talking about Ireland. And can I just say, as I said yesterday, who gives a bleep about the Belfast Accords or whatever the hell they are?
You better watch your microaggressions, bro.
I want to know who's being bitten, and if these Haitians are going direct. Do they get extra welfare, or do they become precinct coordinators for their local Democrat party if they bite
they're clearly hungry.
You have no Irish pride.
I don't. You're absolutely correct.
You don't care at all about what's happening in Ireland.
I'm an American.
I'm revoking your four-leaf clover. Howie, did you see this story about Trump? He's suing the New York Times and Mary Trump for $100 million for maliciously conspiring against him. I'm going to ask our law expert tomorrow, Mark Salinas, about this. But based off what I'm reading, it seems like he might have a shot at this. I'm not saying he's going to get $100 million, but he does seem like he's in the right.
Yeah, it's just almost impossible to for any public figure, let alone the president of the United States, to win this kind of lawsuit.
Just ask Katie Hill. Did you see that story?
Yes, that's pretty funny that she's trying to save the Democrat slim majority in the House, and while she's on the lam. You think she knows where Brian Landry is? Maybe they're fugitives together. Dun 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 dun. Is Dr. Richard Kimball involved with Katie Hill and Laundry?
Dr. Richard Kimball.
So I thought Katie Hill was kind of coming to her senses, though, but apparently not.
Well, it's interesting because you should never start casting stones or pretending to be a hero when you owe someone money, because people will come at you real quick for that. You know, you're on shaky ground.
No, you're not. Look at the lineup of the MSNBC.
That's what I was thinking, too.
I mean, it's almost like you have to have a few liens on your property to get a nighttime hosting gig.
Well, it's like in The Fighter when everyone's fighting and the mom, one of the daughters chimes in and she tries to stand up for the brother and the mom looks at her and goes, "You be quiet. You still owe me $200. We use that in my house all the time. It's like, if you're on shaky ground, you should shut up.
How about Jerry and Julie gets the word one time somebody had died, and he goes, "He can't be dead. He owes me $11,000.
Good luck with that. All right, Howie Carr is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.